And welcome again to the Type 1 Radio Lounge, broadcasting on type1radio.com. I'm Sonic. I'm joined here by Steve.
Hello. We're into our sixth year.
Fajic.
Good evening.
Swami.
Namaste and blessings.
And Reset.
Hello, hello.
So we have a full five panelists tonight for the first time in a while.
Yay!
Which is good to see. Don't forget, we're now into our sixth year of broadcasting.
And boy, are our arms tired!
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We're still on the wings of love, though, Swami, yeah?
6 year. Well, it's into the sixth year. That's crazy, isn't it? We keep coming back.
6 years closer to World War III, it seems.
Jesus Christ. You're not wrong,
huh? Oh, what's going on at the moment?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's
what it's been a bit mad, hasn't it?
That's what we're here to delve into.
Thanks, Staley. Well, I suppose we should first of all congratulate Jeremy Corbyn for winning his second election in a year.
Hands down.
Which, you know, being stabbed in the back by your own and then winning again by your own with an increased majority. Hopefully that's a good sign that people are not believing the rhetoric and the propaganda, which particularly in our country, which is the United Kingdom. Uh-huh.
I don't know if I really see Corbyn as a super saviour.
No, he's not a super saviour, but he's he was certainly, they tried to hound him out. They tried to dissuade the public or the Labour Party from voting for him, particularly from the warmongering factions of the New Labour mob, i.e. Blair and all his cronies.
Yeah.
And
he certainly is interesting, isn't he?
He was undermined big time, but he still managed to win, which is encouraging.
Yeah, he's the lesson.
Yes. Let's say that much.
He's the lesser of the yes.
I think in a way it kind of shows that, well, I don't know, this is just my opinion, but there's a kind of a feeling that maybe, you know, they can't get away with, you know, people were bitten by Blair and they're twice shy now. So they kind of... the Labour Party has to go back to something a little bit more comfortable in its grassroots than going for that.
Which Owen Smith definitely wasn't offering. And it seemed that that there was so much rhetoric to and Corbyn bashing that it was almost like Owen Smith was... just going to waltz through this. That's how the media were trying to portray it. Maybe because he would have been he wouldn't have been the thorn in the government's side when it's trying to push through the stuff that it's no doubt going to be trying to push through with Theresa May, and because some things, you know, like particularly war type things, then they'd have to have majority majority of the MPs saying, well, we either want to go into these things or not, and I think Owen Smith would have pandered to that government line because he looks like Blair 0.2 or 0.5. interesting. And Corbyn isn't that type of... he doesn't portray that kind of persona. But he is still part of the machine... But he's like the nail stuck in the tire, as opposed to an oil pot, an oiled pot. You know what I mean?
I think rather than, I see it more as like, rather than being a nail in the tire, he's almost like the litmus test to kind of see where the sort of left wing is in this country, if you see what I mean. And so the fact that he has so much support publicly and within his party now as well, or that the party have seen that they can't, you know, he is staying there now, but he is very much a litmus test for the because the public have to have something that they can feel is a ray of hope. Otherwise there's nothing.
The quote unquote powers that be now know that certainly the Labour Party supporters, and there was quite a lot, you know, there was over 500,000 voted in that sort of poll, and they now know that that's what they want. They don't want the Theresa May sort of, or the Tories sort of
So they have to appease that section of the public.
They have to get the machine working.
So, yeah, otherwise you get real revolution real problems happening. People start organising themselves. Mm-hmm.
And yet, you're right, Nick, he is part of the establishment.
Check out this headline from The Independent. This was 2 hours ago, so this is, what, 6 or 7 hours after... Corbyn was voted back in with more of a majority. This headline just is terrible. It says Owen Smith would have been better Labour leader than Jeremy Corbyn, says British public. Says British public. So still the bashing is continuing. You know,
the bashing started immediately. On the BBC website, where I forgot about the one, was it 1 o'clock? It was meant to be announced, and I got it like an hour later. And there's Chakramuna, who is our Barack Obama, as we pointed out a year or two ago. He immediately said, "Well, Jeremy's won, and we have to get behind him, and we have to do this, blah blah blah. You know, doing all the usual shit." And he started saying about opinion polls. He started saying, well, opinion polls don't reflect the result and blah, blah. And he started backing what he said originally. You know, his opening gambit was, you know, he's won it by a substantial majority and we have to get behind him now and unite the party. Then he immediately started sort of going back on himself, saying, you know, this opinion poll shows this and this one shows that and it's against Jeremy Corbyn and Bush. And it was just like, hang on a minute, mate.
In this article, it's like one, two, three, four paragraphs before it actually acknowledges Corbyn's victory with a 61% majority of the ballot. So, For a paper that calls itself independent, what the fuck kind of journalism is that? Let's out the journalist there. John Rentoul. Yes, you are a Rentoul.
Yeah, a Rentoul. Yeah.
Not exactly the highest praise one could get.
No. It's, The Guardian as well. They're another... You know, supposedly, I mean, they're called the Guardian because of the Guardian of people's rights, etc. Sort of like, but they are just so fucking right wing within the socialist sort of movement over here now. It's just ridiculous, and I'm sure we're going to get to it in a bit. But the way the sort of the chess pieces are being moved in the world stage now, with us supporting them, with they're not taking a blind bit of notice of people who are doing some amazing work. Journalists who are actually reporting the truth are being basically kicked in the ass. Mm-hmm. Are basically being sidewalled, you know, and being just moved out of the way.
Or being visited by police.
You know, and just the arm of the law has been used against the truth now. It's really, it's getting crazy.
Well, it's
and that's why I was bringing up the
Stasi, isn't
why,
it?
You know, the Yeah. It's totally Stasi, yeah. But, you know, I brought the point up originally about, you know, Corbyn winning against this flood of, you know, bad rhetoric against him is encouraging. But we have to be careful how we tread, really, because, you know, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things on the horizon. I don't know if anyone's noticed or seen this thing that YouTube's about to start from the 1st of October. These people are going to be called heroes.
Oh, rewarding the flaggers?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep, have you seen this? Have you looked at it? I mean, that is just totalitarianism. Mm-hmm. That is
explain.
Google.
Explain.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Well, what it is, and I've only watched a short. I mean, I watched a couple of vloggers. I watched a couple of, about a week ago, and they were saying how they're being removed from the payment schemes that that YouTube sort of provide them with, because if you get over a certain amount of subscribers, you start getting money for your content, yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they're putting up all these little, what would you call it, clauses and sort of, you know, tripwires to say, well, if you're advertising something, you're not going to get payment because you're presenting an advertisement for a certain, although you might just be saying, I like this tool or I like this track or I like this. Mm-hmm. It's, they can easily say, well, that's advertising, so therefore you're not on the payment scheme anymore. But this latest thing I saw is going to be known as YouTube Heroes. And when you get a thumbs down, they you're immediately investigated. Now, if you've got any kind of content of any kind of political sort of agenda, i.e. against Israel, say, for instance, let's use that as an example, then you're obviously going to get Zionists or whoever, mm-hmm. pro-Israeli, giving that thumbs down. So that's immediately going to get flagged up to these heroes, and it's about flagging. And if you even look at the little advert, they even use a red flag, and there's even a person with a lightning strike on his stick. It's little...
lightning strike?
It's little
really?
stick cartoon people, yeah. And there's a lightning strike on one. There's one girl with a red dress on, and the guy's holding a red flag. It's really fucking overt, yeah.
It's
and,
quite telling, isn't it?
So basically, what that means is the heroes can flag up something, and it will be immediately withdrawn, taken down from the YouTube platform.
Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah.
It will be removed.
Absolutely.
If the hounds are turned loose on everything that is truthful, it will all go away.
Yeah. Well, that's just just the death knell of YouTube then, because people.
Yep. Well, as it's the end of YouTube,
things like LiveLeak and Vimeo, or even it'll some enterprising dude will, you know, create a rival to YouTube
I thought that. But how strongly will that? How long will that take for that to become a reality? When you've got 50,000 videos of fucking cats climbing curtains and making curry and stuff like that. It's not going to happen.
It will
on the scale of YouTube now.
But then YouTube will just become cat videos. It'll just be like a you've been framed channel, internet site. Whereas, I always thought that LiveLeak was a more reporting. It seemed to have a lot more hardcore videos on there, to say the least.
Oh yeah.
And so things like that will just take its place. These kids that are making money out of YouTube at the moment, I'm sure that the quite tech savvy as it is, and they'll just make something else. They'll just
actually at the moment. Practically at the moment, it's a platform that everybody knows, and it's a platform of free speech as it is at the moment. And you,
more or less,
can get your word out a lot quicker than you can on some, like, what would you say, live speech? Was it? How many
LiveLeak.
Much traffic does? much traffic does that get compared to like a billion that YouTube gets immediately? I mean, just look at UKCOM's got 11,000 sort of subscribers, 11,100.
Yeah, but the reason why YouTube gets so much play and hits is because it's owned by Google, and Google is pretty much the world search engine.
So anytime you enter a search for anything, the YouTube things are the first things that come up on the first bit.
So I would just advise everyone to go and watch all the UK column information that's on YouTube at the moment, because you just don't know how long it's going to be there, and that is good information.
And it'd probably be a wise idea for someone with some time on their hands to upload those to archive.org. because things like that will, you know, become more useful. That's got fucking everything on it, isn't it, really? And also, like, things like the Wayback Machine.
It just shows you what a powerful resource it is, though. That, I mean, this week on Rich Planet TV, which is another resource we should highlight, is it's, you know, the journalistic integrity of those guys are top notch.
Yes.
And they've done something on David Icke this week, which was absolutely fucking brilliant. They didn't put David Icke down at all, but they gave suggestions on where he might have been compromised by the information he was being fed by certain people and used unwittingly to push a different agenda, and also to make himself look a bit stupid sort of thing, because
to mask the actual message.
You need fucking proof.
Right.
You do need, if you're going to be on that level, you do need proof of what you're talking about sort of thing. You know, if you're making these kind of accusations, you've got to have concrete fucking evidence to back it up sort of thing. Now, they done such a brilliant job in as much as, you know, protecting his integrity.
Yeah.
While suggesting where he could have been
led. It's still a critical analysis, though, but it was... respectfully done critical analysis, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Well, if I was a neutral on either side, I would have respected that a lot more than somebody just saying, "Oh, this guy's fucking stealing money off people." Like, you know, as we talked about, me and you, Nick, in the last couple of episodes.
Uh-huh.
You know, the way they'd done it was they absolutely went through it methodically and chose wisely the words to use, and it was just fantastic. You know, I mean Rich D. Hall won't get taken down because he provides his own, and he doesn't rely on anybody else to sort of put his content out like a lot of others do, i.e. YouTubers and what have you, vloggers.
These bloody millennials.
So, yeah, I mean, we are starting to see. And actually, what's his name? Mark, the dude who owns Facebook?
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg.
Well, they announced this week that they will be sifting through unsavory content as well. And I've seen a few people on Facebook saying that, particularly Jan Urban said it a couple of times, that things have been taken off his page pretty quickly. Another guy who we watch quite regularly is Noah Cheryl, he's had stuff down already, and you know, there's just articles going missing from certain people, but you can still get your fucking cat videos, no problem. Don't worry, cat videos, they're gonna and your cute puppies and what have you, sort of thing. So,
your pugs in glasses.
So concludes my rant. They're trying to tighten the news, always be type one.
I think the probably the only real critical thing that they highlighted on the show with Rich and Andrew was Andrew pointing out that David Icke's site no longer stocked where did the towers go, And after a fairly lengthy conversation that Andrew had with David Icke, he still wasn't, and has now publicly said that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter how it was done. We still know who did it. But I was listening to Dr. Wood on Caravan Midnight show from a couple of years ago, and she nails that one in that is just a revenge mentality. You've got to stop and just look at the evidence there. So, it was a bit of a shame on David Icke that he seems to be... he seems to have been guided away from that information, and you would have thought that somebody that does the amount of research that he does
says he does.
Yeah. Even though every book is pretty much the same, unless until the final chapter, and then he's like,
yeah.
"That's the new information."
Shall we swing the bong focus to this side of the pond for a bit?
Yeah,
well, I think
yeah.
we should after having an absence of quite some time.
Here we go,
US of A.
Here's a bong.
Thank you. Headline: 8 states take part in Show Me Mass Care exercise. 8 states taking part in a multi-state disaster drill: Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas. All taking part in the Show Me Mass Care exercise.
Mass care, is that?
No, well, it's basically the same thing in this. to show how they would react during the next major earthquake along the New Madrid fault line, or New Madrid, however you may choose to pronounce that, which is a major source of earthquakes in the Midwest and the South of the U.S. The exercise simulated efforts needed to assist a mass evacuation of the St. Louis, Missouri area, including an evacuee reception center, 2 mass care shelters, 2 pet shelters, a distribution site for emergency supplies, mass feeding locations, and a multi-agency coordination center. Quote, "The people who do this for a living, who respond to disasters, not just here, but all over the country, if they didn't have some sort of training going in, then they wouldn't be able to do a good job," Jackson County Executive Frank White said, continuing the quote. "So this is tremendously helpful to our county to let us know where we are and what we need to do to be ready. The drill took emergency preparedness crews nearly a year to plan. Once it is complete, crews will evaluate how the week went and figure out if any changes need to be made." Quote, "We've got 500 volunteers taking time off of work to be here for this exercise," said Mike Curry, an emergency preparedness spokesperson for Jackson County, which is where it's being held. And it's being called Show Me because Missouri is known as the Show Me State. Okay. Otherwise, that's a really curious name to have for an exercise. quote, "In the middle of the week, with kids back in school, a number like that, 500 volunteers coming in to work on this, is extraordinary. People want to help. They want to serve, and this is an event that doesn't even affect the Kansas City side. The real damage and destruction will be in the St. Louis area. We're gearing together to take care of the people because that's what we Midwesterners do. Operation Barbecue Relief also took part in the drill. They used the drill as an opportunity not only to feed the hundreds of volunteers involved in the drill, but also to work out the kinks within their own operation. Quote, "I actually think the role of providing food is one of the top two things that you need to have ready for people in this situation. I mean, shelter is obviously paramount, but I think food falls right behind shelter because once a person finds a space, if they don't have food to eat, that shelter is probably not going to last very long because they're going to have to go somewhere else. Not all that many years ago, a 7.7 magnitude quake on the New Madrid fault line caused the Mississippi River to flow backwards and rang church bells in Boston on the East Coast. The Show Me Mass Care Exercise is a joint effort by federal, state, and local officials, volunteers, and churches all working together to test readiness and create a plan for when this type of quake happens again." Which is what, for anyone following Dutch Sense and others who are involved in earthquake monitoring and prognostication, we are seeing some very disturbing signs of activity of that type in this area. Now, one of the things that this Swami is kind of taking as, well, it's not a good thing in and of itself, but in this situation, as far as a release of tension in the plate tectonics, we now have the fact that the state of Oklahoma is having hundreds of earthquakes due to fracking, which would release some of the pressure that would generally just move straight eastward to the New Madrid fault line. So that may end up being a help to whenever the New Madrid does go pop, it may be far less intense than it would have been if it weren't for the fracturing going on and the earthquakes and that and the disruption to stability in the state of Oklahoma. So we are still keeping a close eye on what's going on here in the middle of the U.S. because if this goes, we are looking at the very real possibility of almost all travel across the Mississippi River by land coming to an end because the bridges will fall. The Mississippi River will widen dramatically. All predictions are showing the St. Louis area metropolitan just being wiped out by the quake and by the flooding that will follow. So it's far, a big, big.
How far up the country does the Mississippi go all the way?
Up to the Great Lakes from down near New Orleans.
So that basically splits honestly, the country.
Yes.
Two
yeah, it goes a little bit north of where I am. Actually, the Mississippi falls right about a mile, to the east of me? Yeah, so it's right there next to me.
And see, when this quake happened in the Wayback Machine, there was no great population centers. You know, it's just not the way it is today. And, you know, it's going to be an enormous, it will be, if it takes place within our lifetimes, it will most certainly be the very worst natural disaster of any sort that any of us have seen.
So that is more sort of central than the California. So that's one side that could go. But then, of course, there's the San Andreas as well, isn't there?
Well, that's California. San Andreas is California.
Yeah, there's all the fracking and everything going on in the mountains there, isn't there? So, yeah.
It's all over, isn't it? I mean, we reported back in May about the Alberta fire and how, you know, the fires that were caused up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
When we done a sort of Google search of that, it was all the areas that were affected were all fracking areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, you know, Gaslands? Is it Gaslight or something like that documentary where you see the guy just Gaslands. Lighting his faucet on fire?
Right.
Gaslands, is it, Nick?
Yeah.
And it's...
Now, I don't have the full story on this, but here's an associated fact. There's fixing to be a big boom in fracking operations going on in Florida. And because of this, the state of Florida has increased the amount of I can't remember exactly what cancer-causing substances. The state of Florida has raised the bar to allow more to be there and it not be considered a bad thing.
No.
And that's also in conjunction with the Zika virus spraying on the mosquitoes.
Yes.
Well, I don't know that. More than likely, yeah, because that
that's
whole
kettle of fish, yeah. Well,
yeah, yeah, that's one another one, whole thing.
Yeah. On the cancer tip there, I've got Now TV, and there's like sort of this new channel, and new series started called Weed Etiquette, and this week's show was interviewing parents of kids that had got cancers that they were using hemp oil to cure them, and all of them were in remission. They mentioned they had a little bit on Rick Simpson, and they explained how the hemp oil just attacks the cancer cells and leaves other cells. I thought that available on telly that is quite an amazing thing, really.
Really, yeah. Yep. And thank you ever so much, Steve. Thanks to your association with the lady over there with
the
CBD oil products, this Swami was able to find her supplier, which is out of the U.S., Bluebird Botanicals. So for anyone in the U.S. who would like to take advantage of some of these products that Steve is well aware of now and has been using with success, take a look at Bluebird, one word, Botanicals. Just search them up on the internet, and that's where this lady that he's been getting the products from, that's where she gets them from.
Yeah, The cream is great. takes those pains away.
Brilliant.
Yes.
I actually have a question maybe one of you could answer.
Go ahead.
No.
kind of gets to what we were just talking about. No, with the hemp oil, my father actually has a friend who, she's a female, suffers migraines probably it's 2-3 times a month, but she eventually has to end up taking, you know, a few days off of work because they get so bad. She was wondering if smoking it would be the optimal way, or I heard that actually taking it topically, like a salve, and rubbing it where the pain is, was actually better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Smoke is never a good idea for anything, really. vaporizing or rubbing it on the source.
Yeah, topically.
Or just ingesting some oil as well.
Right. Okay. And one of the things is
CBDs is a good way to do it because there's no
high
side effects. You don't get high.
CBD is cannabidiol, right?
Yeah. It's the opposite end. It's the positive to the negative of THC is the positive and CBD is the
But
negative.
One of the things I was wondering was in a state, medical marijuana is legal to some extent, I think, here. Mm-hmm. Being that it's, CBD, the cannabidiol, you should be able to buy like a hemp salve or something like that, right?
Yeah,
in a state where, well, I mean, that's...
Sorry, I don't know about the states, but over here it's still considered the same thing. So it's still
Swami.
But we can buy that, the cream and the tincture. That's legal, isn't it? You know, she's got a business here.
Technically, no, it's not.
All right.
But there's ways around it. There's ways around it, sort of thing. But it's technically still illegal, believe it or not.
Bizarre.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, how does that work? I mean, I thought
because it's from the same plant. It's because it's from the same derivative, from the same source. So it's because it still is a cannabinoid, yeah. But it's not psychoactive. But because it's covered with a blanket law of all products from that. I mean, I don't know how it works with hemp clothing and whatnot. And we, Vicheck uses another sort of brand of hemp cream, mm-hmm. which isn't illegal because that's freely available. But I know that CBDs.
I don't know if the cream that you use gives any claims about it, but this is just like a face cream.
Yeah,
it just
says, yeah. Well,
it doesn't say that it's.
Well, the claims to the company that I buy from or the lady that I buy from is that it's just a hand cream or a.
Right.
Or a cream. She doesn't promote its
therapeutic use.
Because she can't.
Yeah, they can make no claims relative to medical anything.
Nope. CBD oil that I take is a food supplement. Although it alleviates aches and pains that I once had. And makes my night sleep very comfortable and... if I get too high from taking legal substances, it counteracts that and makes it a more pleasant experience. But it's a food supplement, so it doesn't really do anything.
Yeah.
How about a quickie bong on the U.S. election front?
Okay.
Here we go, here's a bong.
With a little bit of comedy.
Just a little one, then, go on.
Little bit of comic relief here.
Okay. Here is the funniest story the Swami found related to the election for this week. Coming up Monday will be the very first live debate between Trump and Hillary. Hillary's campaign manager, John Podesta, made a request to the debate commission, or excuse me, the Commission on Presidential Debates. She asked for a step stool because she stands 5'4" and Trump is 6'2". And she did not wish to appear shorter. But they turned that down. The commission turned down her request, but they are allowing a custom-built podium to minimize Trump's apparent height advantage. Now,
put a dip in.
How this is custom, I'm still unclear, because if the only custom thing about it is it's got a built-in step stool, well, then, you know, that's kind of odd. Also,
maybe they dug a hole for him to stand in.
Also, there will be no commercial breaks during the 90-minute festivities, which means...
How will Americans cope?
Yeah.
Which means Clinton will have to remain on camera despite any fainting or coughing attacks.
Or dying.
Or seizures.
Or peeing.
Any of the above will be witnessed live.
She'll be hologrammed in.
They might both be.
Yeah. Or they'll just get doubles in.
Yeah.
Have you seen the one where the guy puts the golden ratio thing around Trump's hair? I've seen another one as well that Cheech and Chong had put up, and it was a poster saying Trump will make America great again, and they've removed the T and the P, so it says rum will make America great again.
Also, to add to the official narrative preceding this, what very well could be the most viewed political event in modern times. Lester Holt, who anchors the NBC Nightly News, will not have the authority to instruct cameramen to cut away, and will not be able to have any influence over microphone audio for either of the candidates.
The reason why it's going to be viewed the most is because it's just going to be 90 minutes of car crash telly.
People... Yeah, exactly.
Not for its political or, you know, constitutional, harumph. It's, people are just going to see who fucks up the first.
It's not going to be mind expanding television.
No, that's for sure.
What will be interesting, though, if so, it's been it's obviously out in the news that there's not going to be any ad breaks, so. That's like continuous. It'd be very interesting to if that debate is interrupted by some sort of event.
Yeah.
Yes, the last time that they cut ad breaks was when the 9/11 event happened.
Yep.
And they just went for continuous coverage. Continuous mind control.
Yeah, so something could very well happen there. The English guy from just near here, has he been on trial now for trying to assassinate Trump?
Don't know anything about that.
Yeah, this is news to me.
There was. A guy from Dorking, which is about maybe...
And he came to Scotland, was it?
Yeah, when Trump went to Scotland. A guy from Dorking went up attempted to... No, I think it might have been in America, actually, because he's in an American jail.
Well, that would pretty much have to be here. He's going to drag him across the pond and put him in a cell over here.
Somebody over here. I think the guy was Scottish that tried to do him. It was over in Troon, wasn't it? His golf club is.
Let's Google. Let's use Evil Corp.
There you go. Oh, and for any who are unaware, if you wish to join the millions of human beings who will be watching the live debate, CNN is where it will be broadcast beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Now, that's not when the debate happens, but that's when all the, pre-show undercard events and discussions take
place. The undercard.
Well, it's like a pro wrestling show. It's not the main event, but,
And now, the main event in the red corner.
you'll have built
If you're watching.
Yeah, and Trump's wife having a debate as well or something.
Yeah. I wonder if...
why don't you come into this broom closet with me?
I'll stand on the step for you.
Yeah. Is that the last time Hillary had to use a step stool?
The guy from Dorking tried to assassinate Trump in Vegas, at a Vegas casino rally. Fucking what a dickhead.
Well, that certainly didn't get much play over here. Had you heard anything about that recent?
No, I'd not. I did earlier read that over in the UK, I guess, Stephen Hawking got some death threats.
So that was in... so this was in June?
I think that was in Norway.
About 30 years ago.
That was 30 years ago?
They were successful.
Yeah, because it might just be a different guy now.
Well, is he the longest surviving person with ALS ever?
Yeah, like 50
years. He's the only
survivor, and he's like lasted 50 years longer than anyone else with that condition.
The guy pulled a gun on him and went, "Can't we just sit down and talk about this?"
But anyway, there was some report about him getting death threats, and he was supposed to be talking somewhere. I don't remember exactly where, but it was somewhere over in the UK, I think Norway somewhere. And security swarmed, and people thought there was some terrorist event going on or something.
Shall
the Brighton Bunch or shall Swami inform Reset that Norway is not in the UK?
It's not even in the EU.
No.
Jeez.
It's okay. It's over there.
It's not far away, though. It's close to Scotland.
Well, that's what I meant. The continent of Europe, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're in the continent.
The UK is not on the continent.
Yes.
with the carbuncle.
And today's geography lesson is brought to you by the number 5.
So we're sort of coming up on the hour. We're going to have a tune,
yes,
to the song.
Before we play the tune, we should just mention that 25 years ago today, one of the finest albums released ever, in my opinion. Anyway, I don't know how anyone else feels, but I certainly loved Nevermind when it first came out. And it's funny how that 25 years on, we have had the first ever artificial intelligence song ever released. Have you seen this?
No.
Little story. Yeah. Some sort of computer, I don't know exactly how it's all been come around, but it's been programmed with every kind of nuance of musical style that you can get, I guess. And the first song it came up with was a Beatles-style pop hit called Daddy's Car. And if you listen to it, it's absolutely dreadful. But it's written with no human interaction whatsoever. Wow. Just a bunch. Well, apart from the people who programmed the computer, I guess. And it's it doesn't warrant listening to. Yeah, it doesn't warrant listening to, folks, so don't bother. But it's called Daddy's Car, which is, quite interesting on how we have had the 50 years of Mr. McCartney dying.
It's a bit like a Justin Bieber song then, is it?
Nah, it's a kind of Beatlesy kind of...
Yeah, but you just wouldn't want to listen to it.
No, you wouldn't want to listen to it, no. I mean, somebody commented on it, that computer should have dropped some acid before it... Before it came out with something like that, sort of thing.
You should have taken a hit of Google DeepMind.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know how much it sounded like it, but it almost sounds like you're describing the Beta Band. I don't know if you guys know them.
Oh, yeah, I used to love the Beta Band.
The Beta Band?
Yeah, yeah. I always kind of heard them described as like if the Beatles were like part hip-hop or something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
They were cool. Have you not heard them?
Yeah, I like them.
Maybe we could play a clip after the the break.
I wouldn't want our listeners' ears damaged in some If you want to go check it out, it's called Daddy's Car, and it's written by artificial intelligence. So that's all you need to know. Let's have some real music.
Just as a quick tease for next hour content, two more bongs from Stateside, but both involving international banking. And some good things that you will enjoy hearing about.
And remember...
Well, that's a good enough reason to
refresh
your page.
After the song.
After we hear On a Plane by Nirvana.
Ready? Yeah. It also started like...
You should just start right now. Oh, right away. Okay. Okay. We took you in time. We broke it all. I lost my voice. Now it was wrong. Love myself. Love you. No, it was wrong. What you got to do? Yeah, you got. We'll be right back.
time.